looking at chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, which speaks of our hope of the return of Christ, and that when he does appear, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. And we read there in verse 3, "And every man hath this hope," the hope referred to in verse 2. And it's a hope that is within us, purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. So this hope of Christ's return, alters the course of one's life. It changes the course of a life. You think upon the return of Christ, and most don't, but when you think upon the return of Christ, if you do so scripturally, it alters the way you live. It changes the way you think. It changes the way that you view yourself or view world events and view everything around you. We see this hope causes us to purify or make ourselves holy, even as he, Christ, is pure. So this speaks of conformity to Jesus Christ. When we have this hope of the return of Christ, it causes us to conform, not to the world, but to the person of Jesus Christ. God's people who are always conforming to the world, I know this for certain, that they do not think upon the return of Jesus Christ seriously. Because if they thought upon it seriously, they would not conform to the world. They would conform to Christ. So conforming to the world is not the root problem. It is a symptom. Conformity to the world is a symptom. It is a symptom of a lot of things. But one of the things that is a symptom of is that the individual does not think seriously of the return of Jesus Christ. Because if he or she did, they would purify themselves. So we want to consider today the doctrine of Christ's return is linked to practical godly living. It alters the course of our life. The return of Christ is linked with the exhortation to live a holy life. Notice in the book of Titus, very familiar passage of Scripture, the book of Titus, chapter 2. We'll read verse 11 through verse 13. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation," so he's talking about a certain kind of grace, "the grace that saves, hath appeared to all men, teaching us." Now notice the difference. It has appeared to all men, teaching us, those who have this grace applied, those who are truly saved. The saving grace of God, if you have experienced it, teaches you. If all it has done is appeared to you, it does nothing. But if you receive this grace, the salvation that results from this grace teaches you. And that is present tense. It continues. It is always teaching us. Notice what it teaches us. It teaches us to deny or refuse ungodliness. The grace of God teaches you to deny, to refuse ungodliness. It leads you to refuse that which is anti-God, that which is against God. But then notice what else it causes us to refuse or teaches us to refuse. Worldly lusts. It teaches us to refuse worldly lusts, the desires of the world. It also teaches us that we should do something. Teaches us that we should live a certain way. And again, there are a lot who profess to be saved who do not want to live a life that would correspond to salvation. But saving grace teaches you to live. It teaches you to live soberly. And when one is sober, that means they are clear-headed. They're clear-headed. Their mind isn't clouded. They're clear-headed and they're thoughtful. I'm not talking about thoughtfulness to one another. I'm talking about thoughtful of the things of God. The grace of God teaches us to be clear-headed. That is, clear-headed of the world. Not have our minds clouded with a bunch of garbage from the world. But the grace of God teaches us to be clear-headed and thoughtful, that is, to have our minds, to have our hearts on the things of God. It also teaches us to live righteously. This has to do with our conduct before men. The word righteously simply means justly. It teaches us to treat our fellow man with justice, to treat him fairly. So the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly. That has reference to our life before God. We are to live in conformity to God. And then it says, in this present world. For you and I, that's the only place we can live. As much as you may not like the course of the world, and as much as you may not like this world, you've got to live in it. You have no choice. And we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You cannot... Well, you can, but it doesn't hold water. You cannot use as an excuse. The reason you do not live godly is because the days are evil. That's an excuse. That is not the reason. Because the very grace of God that saved your soul teaches you to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, no matter how bad it gets. No matter how difficult it gets, the grace of God always teaches you to do that. And then it teaches us to do something else. And this is looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The return of Christ is linked here to denying ungodliness and worldly lust. It is linked to living soberly, righteously, and godly. And may I say that you cannot live soberly, righteously, and godly until you do refuse ungodliness and worldly lust. There are a lot of people today who would like to be conformed to Christ, but they don't want to refuse that which is against Christ. And again, my point is, all of this is connected to the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming back, and we see that we are to be a peculiar people. That's part of denying worldly lust. We're not to fit in with this world. And the worse things get, and they're getting worse by the day, the worse things get, the more peculiar you and I ought to appear to the world. I mean, the worse things get, if you just
take seriously the things of God, you're going to be an oddball. You're going to be very odd to this world.
So the return of Christ is linked with the exhortation to live a holy life. It is also linked with the exhortation to be active in the Lord's work. Jesus said in Luke 19 and verse 13, he said, "Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come." The word occupy means to be busy. We're not to be busy in the things of the world. In fact, if we're conforming to Christ, we ought to be getting less busy, less involved in the things of the world. Notice in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, "And that knowing," and this is something that we should know, "that knowing the time," we ought to know the times and the seasons. And we ought to know that we live in the last days of the last days. We ought to know the times. "Knowing the time, that now it is high time," or about time, "to awake out of sleep." It's time for God's people to wake up, is what Paul is saying. Now, if that was true in Paul's day, how much more so today? And then he goes on and he says, "For now is our salvation," and that's talking about the redemption of the body, "now is our salvation nearer," it's closer "than when we believed." How much more so since Paul wrote these words? Verse 12, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand." What day is at hand? The day of our salvation. "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." That day, the day of the redemption of our body, which is going to take place at the coming of Jesus Christ, is at hand. It's almost here. "The night, let us therefore, since the night is far spent, the day is at hand." We have much more time behind us. This we know for sure. We have much more time behind us than we do in front of us, as far as the return of Jesus Christ. "Let us therefore cast off," which is the same as refusing, that we read of in Titus chapter 2, "cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly," which is the same as living righteously. "Let us walk honestly as in the day," that is, as in the day that Jesus Christ is returning, "not in rioting," or unruliness, drunkenness, which is the opposite of being sober in Titus chapter 2, "not in chambering," which is lewd, immodest behavior, "and wantonness," which is unnatural lust, talking about homosexuality and the like, showing that when we get to the point where our redemption draweth nigh, these things are common, but they're not to be found in God's people, "not in strife and envy." So Luke 19:13, "Occupy till I come." These verses here in verses 11 through 13 of Romans chapter 13 teaches us that in light of the return of Jesus Christ, we are to be active. We are to be active in the Lord's work. But all you have to do today is look around at the average Baptist church and people are less active
in the work of the Lord than they've ever been before. They have less time for the work of the Lord than they ever have before.
That should not be, because we're getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And if we're, why is it though that people are getting less active?
It's because folks are not thinking about the return of Jesus Christ.
Oh, I realize that today, especially with the way things are going in our government, people are always saying it won't be long.
But there aren't many that really think seriously about that. It's easy to say, oh, it won't be long.
It's another thing to really think about it.
It's another thing to really, truly be aware.
It won't be long. But I've got news for you. Most of God's people believe that they have a long time to live on this earth. They've got all the time in the world. And that's why they're not busy.
We see in 1 John 2, verse 28, the return of Christ is linked with the exhortation for you and I to abide in Christ. Verse 28 of 1 John 2, and now, little children, abide in Him. That is, continue in Him, remain in Him, dwell in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So in view of the return of Christ, we are to abide in Christ. And then in the book of Luke chapter 21, the return of Christ is linked with the exhortation to live a life of godly simplicity rather than self-indulgence. And this is so fitting, the times in which we live. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, take heed to yourselves. The reason is there's a danger. That word lest indicates a danger, indicates a real possibility. Take heed to yourselves. In other words, give attention to yourselves, to your spiritual condition, lest at any time, it can happen at any time. We need to be aware of this. This danger that he's about to mention can happen at any time. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or burdened and weighted down. The danger is that our hearts and our minds would become weighted down with surfeiting, which simply means excess. The danger is that we become weighted down with a lot of excess. And if there ever was a day when God's people are weighted down with a lot of excess, it's today. You want to know why? When there are special services in various places that most people will not bother to go, you want to know why? Well, it's two reasons. One, either they don't want to. But I believe the main reason, because a lot of people say, oh, well, we wish we could have gone, but, and then they'll list 500 things. You need to just be honest. We would have gone, but you need to understand our hearts are so weighted down with excess that we don't have time. That's the truth. Now, that might offend a lot of people, but it's the truth. That's the reason. That's the reason that people can't drive a little bit to go to some services somewhere, because they're weighted down with excess. And the Lord warns against that. He goes on, and drunkenness and cares of this life. The danger is we all have cares of this life, But the danger is that we become weighted down with the cares of this life. And this is what the Lord is warning against. And so that day, the day of Christ's return, come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. He's talking about the return of Christ. And in light of the return of Christ, we must not allow ourselves to become weighted down with a bunch of excess. And there is a lot of excess. And people are always bringing more into their lives. Oh, I'm going to do this in the next month. I'm going to enter my children into this. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. Something's got to give. And I happen to know what's going to give. Service to God. Something's got to go by the wayside. Something's got to be put to the side. And we all know what it's going to be. It's going to be church. It's going to be the things of the Lord. And then they just add more and more and more excess. And then they have the audacity to complain that their life is so hectic. How did it get that way? You made it that way. You brought in all these things. In view of the return of Christ, we're not to be adding excess into our lives. We're to be adding the things of the Lord into our lives. So you see, when we think upon the return of Christ, it changes the way we live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we've got to hurry on here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The return of Christ is linked to the exhortation to love one another. Christ is coming again, therefore we ought to love one another more than we have before. We ought to love one another more and more each and every day. In James chapter 5, we see the return of Christ is linked with the exhortation to patience. James 5, verses 7 and verse 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And he goes on and he gives an example of the husbandman. And then in verse 8 he says, but be ye also patient, as is the husbandman. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And that word patience simply means be persistent, be determined, be resolved. God's people ought to be more persistent in the things of God as the day approaches. We ought to be more determined in the things of God. We ought to be more resolved in the things of God than ever before. And that ought to be, and our persistence, our determination, our resolve ought to be increasing, because each day we're getting closer to the return of Christ. And then lastly, in Hebrews 10, very, very familiar verse, verse 25. We see the return of Christ is linked to the exhortation to assemble together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner or the habit of some is, but exhorting one another to assemble together, and many other things. And so much the more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Many are going to church less when they ought to be going more.
We ought to be going more and more and more because the day is approaching.
The return of Christ is getting nigh. The world is getting worse by the moment, and we need strength. And we find strength in the assembling of ourselves. So the return of Jesus Christ should be more than a doctrine to the child of God. It should be a living, acting hope within the heart, one that alters the very course of our life, one that gives us a proper perspective concerning life upon the earth, causing us to set our hearts on things above and not on the things of earth. To live above the course of this world. We that have this hope within us, it alters our life. It changes the way we live. We don't, as you look around at most churches today, you don't see these things. And I happen to believe, I've changed my belief over the years, we've mentioned this before, I happen to believe that when Christ does return, that God's people are not going to be missed because there's not going to be that many of them here. And I believe we're there. I don't believe there's a whole lot of God's people on this earth. I really don't. I believe there's a lot of people that profess, but I don't see a whole lot of folks who seem to have this hope within them because it's not altering the course of their life. And perhaps one of the reasons they don't have this hope within them is because they just don't have that hope. Because they're lost. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be busy in the things of the Lord. And it's not something that ought to be a struggle. The hope that's within us just ought to cause us to want to do these things. Let's look to the Lord.